You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Yes. Hour three of the Sports Hangover coming up at 2:15. Marlon Faber, I'd like to chime in. I'll talk to him about, was a message sent to a former first-round draft pick of your New Orleans Saints, because it might have been received. If any indication of today's practice and yesterday's practice has anything to say about it, we'll continue to talk about the defense. PJ Williams still got to play some of his sound here as well. Cameron Meredith as well. We've been going over some of the things that really have stood out as practice five, day five of New Orleans Saints training camp is in the books. Gus Kattengill with you. It is hour three of the Sports Hangover. As always, thanks for tuning us in. If you miss any part of the show, feel free to check us out on iTunes, Google, Google Play, SoundCloud as well, ESPN Radio, no other way to tweet at us, Facebook, Instagram, a number of ways social media-wise. A question that we've thrown out there today is if you've been to any of the open practices today, Saturday or Sunday, what stood out to you? I want to hear from you, Saints fans, if you got a chance to go out there. All three were sold out, so there had to be some people out there. Sellouts, about 2,000 fans or so, some of the personnel over there telling me. And I just kind of want to get an idea of what is standing out to you. For me, it's four things, really. Traquan Smith, he good. Like, he good. Brian and O'Least, I'll credit him on this because he tweeted it. But we were talking about this at practice. The unbelievable luck that the Saints have had in the third round. Right? Brian tweeted this a couple days, yesterday. He goes, you know what? Jimmy Graham, third round. Akeem Hicks, third round. We probably got rid of him a little too early. Right? He's gone on to have a nice career so far. Bears really love him. Just gave him an extension last year, I believe. Teron Armstead, third round. Alvin Kamara, third round. Alex Anzalone, third round. Traquan Smith, third round. If you missed it, Curtis Johnson on Traquan.
Look, that's one of the reasons why we drafted him, you know. We all knew that this kid could run. You know, we just didn't know how far he would come in a little bit of time. But I think now that he's learning the plays and understand their offense in college, in high school, you know, it wasn't very many formations. It wasn't very much movement. You know, you stay in one place and then you don't move around much. Well, now we got him moving and doing some different things, going in motion and changing strengths, you know, and playing different positions. And, I mean, this kid is – he's starting to run. He runs well. He looks like he's really a good player.
Indeed. And Curtis Johnson took it a step further when he was asked, what's the wow factor when it comes to Traquan Smith? What separates him?
Long speed. I mean, he'll get going. You know, it's almost like, and I'm not comparing him to anybody, but some of these guys like Randy Moss, they don't appear to be quick off the ball. But once they get moving down the field, they really pick up speed and gain ground. And that's what he is. He's one of these long speed guys.
Indeed. Cameron Meredith as well. Look, one of the things that hasn't stood out, and again, it's not that I'm not saying that haven't stood out, they haven't made a lot of plays, but I think one of the storylines that some people had, even I did too, about the Mark Ingram sort of situation, I'm calling it. I'm not calling it the Ingram role because I don't think anyone replaces Mark Ingram for a number of reasons, as I've said. One, there's no one that runs like Mark Ingram and has meant or does the things that Mark Ingram does. B, I just simply don't think that Sean Payton's just going to take whatever back is best available and do the same role that Mark Ingram did, right? 15, 20 carries, couple of catches here and there. I just don't see that. The Saints went out and brought in three pass receivers in the tight end, Ben Watson, Cameron Meredith, and Traquan Smith in the draft. So, and you have Alvin Kamara. No, I'm not saying Kamara gets 20 more targets and catches. I think everybody else, including Michael Thomas, gets 2 to 3 more. And there you go, right? So it's not like I haven't been focusing on it. But look, Traquan just stood out. I mean, you just cannot not see it. I'm waiting to see, and it's going to be interesting about Cameron Meredith. Again, 6'3", big body, starting to kind of get going here. First, Curtis Johnson, again, the receivers coach, had this to say on him.
Look, you know what? The thing about Cam is now I think it's all mental now. I mean, he looks really well running routes. You know, it's tough when you hadn't played football in a year, and all of a sudden, you know, your number's called, and, you know, it's hot, and you hadn't played, and you're a little rusty. I think his thing is more rust than it is anything else.
It's interesting he said that because literally going into the practice, and this was Saturday with Curtis Johnson, I remember telling Brian and Jordan, I said, it's time for 81 to make a play. And what I mean by that is just one of those, woo, you know, the crowd kind of catches type things like that. He had a couple of drops. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I was like, what's up? I mean, you know, Jordan and Brian are like, is it the injuries? He's trying to come back slowly. The pass breakup that Marshawn Lattimore did on Thursday, which was one of the plays of the day for me. Yes, nice play for Marshawn Lattimore, but I noticed, and you always observe, you always watch the end of the play. And Cameron Meredith comes back towards where the, you know, everyone's standing behind the line of scrimmage as they're going left to right, and Curtis said, come here. And he was talking about it, and he was kind of getting on him. And I went back and I looked at it because I just got lucky and videoed that play. And we tweeted it, and it's up there. But you saw he didn't maybe make the cut as hard, and he didn't explode out of the cut. He kind of jogged out of the cut. And to a cornerback like Marshawn Lattimore, you basically told him what's coming. And that's what Curtis Johnson, you could hear verbally telling him. And you could hear him smacking his hand, and it's his right hand smacking his left hand, and then his fingers were kind of pointing to the cut. In other words, plant, hit, cut. Hard, fast, explode. It's Drew Brees. He'll lead you. Instead, he kind of loafed a bit or didn't explode out of it. So, you know, look, is it the injury? Is it not? I think it's what Curtis Johnson's saying. He hadn't played football in a year. And I agree with Curtis. I think it's rust. You know why? Towards the end of Saturday, saw some grabs. Yesterday, he looked better. So again, I'm not, you know, panic button and siren here. I'm just saying, you know, it was something that I wrote on the back of my notepad. I always write 4 or 5 questions before practice starts as to things that I'm paying attention to so I don't forget. Well, once we're watching practice. And one of them was, 81 make a play. I want to write down one time an individual. I want to write down one time in receiver versus DB. I want to write down one time in team drills, Cameron Meredith made a nice catch. That's all. But Cameron Meredith talked after practice on Saturday. And of course, the first thing was, how does he feel health-wise?
I feel good. First day back in pads. So, you know, it's a little bit of rust, just not playing a whole year. But for the most part, I went out there, had my feet under me. I didn't feel any type of, you know, discomfort or anything. So going into training camp feeling like that's a good sign.
I remember what Sean Payton said going into that practice. It's about wanting to see how players carry the pads, how they handle it. It's a little hotter. It's a little heavier. Not as quick. Wears you down a bit, so it was interesting to say that. Cam Meredith also saying, look, he wants to be smart with the injury. Again, he didn't practice Sunday.
I think for the most part, I took a decent amount of reps, just being smart about, you know, what plays and, you know, how I might react to certain plays. So getting back to the groove of things, like I said, making sure I feel comfortable doing everything, and, you know, we'll take that day by day.
So I think that's one of the things that stood out. Again, you just want to be smart, and he had a veteran day off. Overall, in terms of team drills and stuff like that, he said he's feeling, as you heard, not only healthy but starting to kind of get back up to where he was in Chicago.
Most definitely, I think right now I'm just taking it step by step, getting back into the groove of things. I'm coming out of my breaks, catching the ball, finishing routes and stuff like that. So, you know, every day I'm putting in extra work after practice to make sure I get that right.
All right, it's gonna take some time. As for playing with Drew Brees, he helps, no doubt.
It's amazing, man. You know, he speaks for himself, and, you know, his work speaks for itself. But, you know, to be able to come in here, soak his knowledge up from him in the huddle and, you know, after practice, in the locker room. He's such a leader. He's very detailed in about everything. So it's a lot of things in his game, His warm-up is always the same. He's very routine. So there's a lot of things about him that you could take from him and, you know, apply to yourself, not only as a quarterback but as a receiver too.
One of the other things, too, that that I asked him, I said, look, this potential, this offense, because, again, I have a hard time believing, because they ran the football as well and had the potential to do that. They're just going to not throw with the addition of three new pass catchers and rely on two running backs that don't know the system. Maybe three. Take over the spot of one. I don't see that happening. I almost think they go into it sort of like Mark's hurt. You know, they're not going to change the offense. I'm not saying they're not running the football. It's not what I'm saying. But you get what I'm getting at, right? I just don't see Shane Vereen or Terrence West or Jonathan Williams or Trey Edmonds or Boston Scott getting 15 to 20 carries in a game. So I asked him the potential of this offense.
You know, this isn't the first year we've seen it. So, you know, I knew coming in we had a lot of potential for big plays and, you know, the pass game and the run game, because we got, you know, dynamic players in each set. So I'm excited to see what we do this year and, you know, make some plays.
Exactly. We asked him about Traquan Smith, what he thought about
it. I think he's doing a good job, you know, assimilating. You know, he's getting out there. He's just got to get to the speed of things. You know, other than that, I think he puts the time in at home studying the playbook. And like we've seen today, he made some plays. So he's going out there doing his thing.
We played right after practice in its entirety when he was at the podium. It was just after the show started in the 12 o'clock hour. If you missed it, you can go back again, listen to our podcast on it. It was interesting to hear him say, look, there's instances Drew calls the play. And I'm like, what? So it's incredible, because like I said, if you're asked one player that stood out, it's him. And if he's still trying to learn what's going on, then that tells me it's been pretty much instinctive. That's good. That's a good thing. Good sign. I asked Cam Meredith about the Saints defense. What's it like going up against him? Again, PBU City.
You know, it's a physical group. A little different than Chicago. It's still the same, but you know, it's different type of play styles out here. So I'm getting used to that, coming back out here to practice. And, you know, OTAs, I saw a little bit of it. So, you know, they're a physical group and they're very smart. So it's a good team to be able to practice against.
Indeed. And what are the other things, too, that we had to ask, of course? What is it like with Curtis Johnson? Because, look, there's no doubts, right? There's no question. I mean, he said so, and Sean Payton has. Curtis Johnson was instrumental in bringing Cameron Meredith here. Missed a year last year coming off of injury. Saints did not give him a small deal, right? If you remember, all those good old NFL analysts out there, it was a deal that it went, whoa, what are the Saints doing? Bears let him walk. Remember, they didn't match. The Bears did. Didn't feel he could come back healthy. Meredith, though, on Curtis Johnson.
He hasn't changed, you know, not one bit. So, you know, I enjoy coming to practice, coming to meetings. He makes it enjoyable to come out here and work. So, you know, like I said, I'm very happy to be out here with him again.
About that style. The old, hey, you did well, because you're Traquan Smith today, right? Even when he does something well, he goes right into what he didn't do well.
You know, a lot of people might, you know, get him misconstrued. He might be on you a little bit, but, you know, that's because he cares. So, you know, it's good to have a coach like that who cares about every little detail, who's going to coach you up, and who has a high energy every day. So he brings so much to the table. We enjoy it every day.
Indeed. Take the quick break. We come back. We'll have some more sound bottom of the hour. But also, when we get back, I want to talk to Marlon Favorite about maybe a message that was sent to a player on the defensive side of the ball. I love Sean Payton's coaching so far, right? Unhappy with some of the things that he's seen so far in practice. This is how we started yesterday.
Look, there was moments, plays. You know, the big thing right now is just the consistency. We've got too many snaps on the ground. Defensively, you know, we'll have three or four good plays, and then all of a sudden there's a big play that we've got to correct. And that was a problem a year ago.
Indeed. Danny got into the return game, which we'll play at the bottom of the hour, in which he references a television show. It's the Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Big Faye 504 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. David Marlin Favorite. He joins us Mondays and Fridays. Talk a little football. Marlin, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Doing pretty good, man. Just about to go take me a, what you call that, a late lunch break?
I hear that. Well, you know, you play D tackle and D line, so no doubt you never missed a lot of the lunches. Look, I want to get into messages being sent. Marlin, if at any time, not that you did in your playing career, did you ever maybe not take reps with the first team? Did you maybe not start a game? Or did you maybe at practice kind of, you know, have to go play some special teams when you never did? And, you know, get a message sent?
Yeah, well, you can. I know at this point in time, a lot of the younger guys that's trying to make these impressions on the team, they feel like, man, I can't get my message across. I can't really get my point across of my worthiness of being here. But it just depends on the team and the scenario and what you're able to do. So it is a way to get your message across, for sure.
One of the things, Marlin, that, of course, and the reason I'm asking you about it is because we saw Sheldon Rankins for two practices over the weekend, not, and even really start sitting in on Friday a bit, not working exclusively with the ones, coming in with the second unit. It was David Onyemata, and it was Tyler Davidson at defensive tackle. And lo and behold, a little bit on Saturday towards the end, but yesterday for sure, couple of TFLs, tackle for losses, a pass batted down. Today, few more plays by Sheldon Rankins being made and working back with the one. So, again, I didn't ask Sean Payton, but again, there was a lot of us that were watching practice that were wondering if that was a message being sent.
Possibly. You have to look at it like this, too, Gus. During training camp, I was actually looking at some camp film from last year when Jordan Lewis and Dez Bryant was going at it at practice. Well, Jordan Lewis was trying to get his message across by his play, so was the Dez Bryant. The point I'm making is, man, these are men with egos. And a guy like Sheldon Rankin, he's listed as one of the top players under 25 in the NFL at his position in terms of interior linemen. He's someone you want to look out for, you know, being mentioned with like the Aaron Donalds of the world. So it's a possibility, especially what's going on at practice. Him just, you know, making those plays to let everyone know, hey, I'm here and I'm worth the first round. You know,
Marley, one of the things that that I find interesting, again, I'm calling it PBU City. Brian and Ola E says Fast and Furious. A couple of other people have chimed in with some different names as well. I'm just referencing the amount of pass breakups we're seeing in the secondary. Over at LSU, when you guys won a national championship, let's be honest, when both the Saban and Miles championships, defense really kind of led the way. And we've talked about the Tigers coming this season. Defense will have to lead the way again. When you have a secondary that gets the hands on the ball, not always just an interception, but you know, you can get a pick if the ball gets batted up in the air and other people fly around to the ball. But as a D lineman, when you have a secondary that gets to a position to where they can make a play on the ball, how does that affect you guys up front?
Well, it helps us out a lot because, for one, it shows that we're doing our job. Most of the time, you know, these pass breakups happen. The defensive line is really putting a significant amount of pressure on the quarterback, disrupting him some type of way, whether it's in his face or a little shove right as he's throwing it, all affects the pass. So that's the number one effect it has. And then if the cornerbacks continue to do that, get the pass breakups and interceptions, it somewhat throughout the course of the game alters the quarterback's decision-making and when he does things and the timing behind it. So that definitely plays a role as well, and gives the defensive line credit. But man, Gus, another man, football season, like, I can't wait, man. August 2nd isn't getting here quick enough. Where you at, Thursday? Hello, yeah. Somebody.
I hear you, man. No doubt.
But I was watching Mashon Lattimore's some of his highlights and plays he made last year. Just to switch gears and talk about cornerbacks, man, this dude was all over the ball. Julio Jones don't want no part of this young man. I'm telling you, that's because he's finishing those pass breakups. Yes, the kid had 5 interceptions, but, you know, with the way he was able to disrupt the receivers he went against last year, you know, that's what you're looking for in a defensive back, man. So, to answer your question, those pass breakups, they play a role and it messes with the quarterback's confidence.
Speak with Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504 is the way to follow on Twitter. Marlon, the one thing, though, that I find interesting, you remember, you know, when LSU was referencing a lot or referenced itself to DBU, just the defensive back playing there, first round picks, what have you, guys that made plays. I felt that what it can do is people feed off of it, right? Maybe guys that don't have that talent, but kind of feed off of it and all of a sudden, that mantra or that belief maybe crawls into the quarterback's heads or crawls into the receiver's heads, kind of along the lines of what you're getting at, because it's not just Lattimore and it's not just Ken Crawley and Patrick Robinson, the three probably best in experience DBs. Dude, it's Devontae Harris. It's Justin Hardy, who had 3, I think 5 PBUs over the weekend. Devontae Harris with a handful. PJ Williams with a handful of pass breakups. Arthur Millette with a handful of pass breakups. It's like anybody and everybody that has a Saints jersey back there is getting their hands on the ball.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a mindset and it's an expectation. You mentioned LSU. You have that. I mean, when you come in as a cornerback that contributes to LSU, you're a part of the famous DBU. So the expectations are already high. So for those DBs that come in, they feel like they have to fill those shoes. They have to be able to have that name, that recognition. And for the Saints players, man, we are in training camp. That's it here, man. I know I was supposed to make it out there yesterday by you guys. I'm going to definitely have to catch one of the practices this week because it's a different attitude. Once that September hump is over, as a player, you're coasting. I mean, of course, each week, each position, there's 4 to 5 guys rotating in throughout those doors, basically competing and trying to earn the coach's trust to take your spot. So it doesn't really stop. But in training camp, that's where it turns. If you can make it through training camp into week one in the books, you know, you have an opportunity to say, all right, I'm DBU. I'm a defensive lineman that's worth being on this team, a cornerback that's worth being on this team. Mm. You want to earn your keep, and that's the way to do it. That's why this is, in terms of competition, competing, the training camp is the best it gets because, I mean, guys are essentially fighting for their careers, their jobs.
It's funny you say that, Marlon, because that's where I want to go into next, because the Saints, with a scheduled day off tomorrow, and it couldn't have come at a better time. I know you saw the news yesterday. It's terrible for Trayvon Dorally, a broken humerus bone. It's his upper arm, or it's his broken left arm that has him out. Sean Payton and the team really hasn't come out and touched on it and how long a timetable, what have you. But again, a guy that I think has showed some stuff, Curtis Johnson, touched on the fact that he had gotten his weight down. He looks healthier and was starting to make some plays. It stinks there, but Marlon, it's not just him. Cameron Tom, his arm was in a sling today. Teron Armstead left practice early yesterday, didn't participate today. You're just seeing little nicks and bruises here, right? Cameron Moore, hamstring. It's just Ben Watson left practice early today. You saw Marcus Davenport leave practice today early. It's just the bumps and bruises start to come. It's normal, right? Right? I mean, it's just you're banging up on people. The pads are on. You're now kind of going full speed, and this is what happens when you're playing football.
It happens, man, and it's unfortunate. It's only so much injury prevention drills you can do. Man, sometimes it's just a part of the game. It is sad, you know, to hear those guys get hurt, but I mean, the only advice, if we have some youngsters out listening right now, that I can give them is, man, take care of your body as much as you can. Even if you're not hurt, even if you're not sore, still go sit in the hot and cold tubs because, hey, that stuff adds up over time. You want to make sure that you're giving your body before practice to break up those lactic acids and all the stuff in your body that comes with banging, man. It's just a part of the territory for that. And to make sure that after practice, man, you're hitting those ice tubs, It's a full medical staff that's there. Go see them, you know. It's your investment, Gus, at the very end of the day. Hey, how they used to tell it back in the day? You can't make the club in the tub.
No, exactly right. Ryan Ramczyk actually talked about that process of being able to recover, Marlon, and how key it was really for him in order to do that. So it's interesting you bring that point up. Marlon, again, look, it's not just me. Nick Underhill tweeted after practice, one of the best practices he's seen by this team. Actually, the exact quote, this might be the best defensive practice I've seen in a long time. And that's saying something because I'm telling you, the last several days, to me, it's the defense that's really stood out on this. It's got to help the offense, right? Kind of like constantly going against this. I've asked a lot of receivers, what's it like going up against the Saints' defensive backs? And you have to work harder and you have to get ready to go. Because, Marlon, you look at this NFC, there's good defenses, there's good offenses. So, to me, at the end of the day, I'm hoping it's steel sharpening steel here.
No doubt, man. From a fan's perspective, you know, us locally, man, this is our home. We want to see the Saints do well. And it's taking it every practice at a time. You know, you have a competitive group of defensive backs, which is good. You have a defensive line. When you told me about Sheldon Rankins, I'm like, okay, that's what I like to hear right there. You know, compete. Because the coaches are going to challenge. They really are. They're going to each practice each day. No matter who you are or who you think you are, the coaches are going to challenge you to pull that best out of you. You know, for the younger players, I wouldn't take that personal. You know what I take personal? When a coach not talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
When they're not on me, that's when you should worry. I've always remembered that, and I've always, you know, put that into play in terms of being an athlete. When a coach is on your butt every day talking about this, you need to do that, that's a very good thing, man. That's great news for you because that means they see potential. They like you. But when a coach stop talking to you and stop challenging you like that, then that's when you should worry.
I don't know if we're going to get the chance, obviously, because spoke with a lot of people in the Baton Rouge area that's down here covering the Saints, if we're going to get to see what Coach O is going to allow at practice. He says he's going to open it, Marlon. You're part of the LSU radio network, so you might be able to get in there when we're not. But that's one of the things I kind of am interested in seeing when LSU opens up fall practice here at the end of the week, as well as how far along does that defense go and are they ready to go? Because here's the thing, Dave Aranda, we saw him last week at Saints training camp, talking with Will Clapp, the former Tiger, but Dave Aranda was there probably, you know, getting some tips and pointers. I know the Saints always welcome coaches to their practices. And hey, if I'm Dave Aranda, I'm already pretty good, but I got to see what Dennis Allen and Aaron Glenn are maybe sort of doing. And you got some really good coaches, obviously, on that Saints defensive side of the ball. But I'm interested to see how far along that defense is because I don't think anyone's pretending here. LSU is going to be as successful as their defense is.
Oh, no doubt, man. LSU, you're looking at a defense, in my opinion, Gus, their top three defense in the country. I think
really?
We have the best linebacker.
Really?
In my opinion, I give Alabama and probably Ohio State. I think those are the only two defenses. I could probably throw Georgia in there and give LSU a four, but with the Rashard Lawrences of the world, you know, we'll be able to see Tyler Shelvin this year, you know, to kind of clog that middle up. With that linebacking core, you know, Devin White, number one linebacker in the country, in my opinion, Greedy Williams, number one corner in the country. When you have that type of star power, that type of playing ability on one team, that's going to help. Now, if the offense comes with anything with that defense, we're looking at a successful football season, no doubt, because that defense will definitely, you know, Grant Delpit, a taller, more athletic version of Jamal Adams. So, I mean, you really have a group of guys, in my opinion, from what I've seen, watching them spring ball, spending time talking to the players throughout the summer, I think we have a group of guys that's going to go out there defensively. I can put my foot on and say, this is probably a top three, top five group in the country.
There he is, Marlon Favorite. The way to follow is on Twitter at BigFay504. And, of course, the podcast In the Trenches, Marlon, no doubt. Looking forward to getting some more insight on you.
No doubt, bro. Thanks for having me on. The football season is here, baby. Hello.
He is. We'll talk again on Friday. Here he is, Marlon Favorite. Quick break. We come back a little bit more from the Saints following the practices. And again, five are in the books. Tomorrow is an official scheduled day off. Tuesdays, just think of that. It's a Tuesday, they're off. That's they have three scheduled days off. And then over the weekend, get a chance to see them in a stadium. We'll go over some of your responses as well. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Did you get to go to any of the open practices? I would love to hear from you and see what you had to see for yourself and what stood out to you. I've kind of gone over some of the things, and including what Sean Payton said about the return game. We'll play that next on ESPN New Orleans. ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to follow us over on Twitter. Plenty of feedback that we'll get into here in a second off of what did you see following the practices over the weekend. And today, if they were open and you had a chance to go there, one in particular, Sean Payton talked about balancing the evaluations on the backup quarterback. Remember I told you, to me, the five storylines going into training camp, really one or two were football related. The others were handling expectations. The injury bug was one. But the number one football thing was the backup quarterback role. If you're getting into that third preseason game and you're like, oh boy, then they need to pick up the phone. Because everything that you've done and shown this offseason is all in. Right? The chips are just whoosh, all in. So, I think when you take a look at it, right now, so I asked Brian, who has stood out? Look, Sean Payton said, look, you know, Tom Savage made a nice throw here or there. I think Taysom Hill just has bigger upside because of his athleticism and ability to run. He had a good scramble or two. He's got a can- I mean, it's a laser. It's not even a cannon for an arm. I think he can do a lot. It's going to have to learn it. But there's a drop-off, right? I mean, there was a drop-off with McCown and Chase, but McCown almost won that game in Carolina. Do I have the confidence with what I've seen that could happen? My confidence, if I have any, would come from the fact that defense is better and you have more weapons on the offense. So I basically just think this guy, whoever would come in, if it's not Drew Brees, just basically has to not turn the ball over. But this is Payton talking about the balance between evaluating the backup quarterbacks and trying to get work done.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges even into the preseason. So at times we'll try to get those guys work with the ones. You know, we've done that before to create a little bit more opportunity for them. But that's always been a challenge. And even in practice, when we're watching video, we'll take that into account.
You have to. Remember, I said this last year with Garrett Grayson. I felt for him. You know, same thing. How do you evaluate JT? I mean, they get two team snaps during team periods. And last year, you had a center that literally rolled the football 80% of the time to Grayson. You might have a receiver that doesn't know where he's going. You have offensive linemen that, I mean, they're gone, right? I mean, they're not making the team. How do you evaluate that? How do they get better? It's hard. One more bite, and then we'll get to Corey. It's Sean Payton. He says, look, he will adjust the game plans, obviously, to help evaluate. Because we've seen preseasons already where Drew Brees doesn't play. And we've seen preseasons where he plays very limited. I think it's incredibly key, especially in those first two games. And I would even say in game three against the Chargers. I need to see one of those two guys battle out first 2 weeks to get the start for week three. And then I want to see them with the first string. Sean Payton says whoever the starter will be, he'll adjust accordingly.
Yeah. It's a good question. Yes. And so, you know, when that player becomes the starter, you begin to put your system around the strengths and things that he does well. In the meantime, even going into a preseason game, though, you know, there's a playlist that we'll have, and we know going into this game we're going to feature a handful of these plays with Drew, but that might tweak a little bit with the next quarterback or the next one. I think we always try to do that.
Let's go to Corey. Thanks for giving us a call on the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. What you got, man?
Hey, how you doing, Gus?
Good, man.
It's to me, I don't pretty much care for Tom Savage. Mm-hmm. I'll be totally, I don't care for the guy. I mean, he couldn't win a playoff game when his defense was pretty much spectacular. And another thing with Taysom Hill, how do he get better if they pretty much, he's pretty much on a special team drill that he's doing? I like when he's pretty much doing special team drills. And I mean, to me, it's critical for Hill, because I mean, I would be soaking Drew Brees' mind. I'd be pretty much trying to just kind of soak him like a sponge. And I just don't see him pretty much. They want him to be the guy. That's no secret about him. Peyton Liking, he got his upside. But I don't understand why they pretty much use him on special team drills where he's supposed to be the successor to Drew.
Corey, it's because of his athleticism. He's a freak. I mean, he blew up. Oh, man, who was it? I forgot. Over the weekend, he absolutely blew up a DB that was just holding Wendell.
Yeah,
Black.
I got it.
Yeah, I just crushed him. I know, that's why. I mean, that's honestly why. I mean, I don't think he gets hurt. He's delivering the punishment. And I think that's why right now I'm keeping him, right? I mean, because he can do some things that maybe Dak Prescott did as a rookie with
right.
Dallas. Just to extend, I'm not asking him to be Michael Vick and run, but yesterday
right.
a play broke down and he took off, and dude, he was 50 yards downfield before the DBs caught up to him. Like, he's faster than a lot of the defensive players. So as we've seen when good Cam shows up, how difficult it is. Because look, Taysom Hill is not a short guy. Like, let's not say that he's just some like freak of nature sort of thing from that. He's 6'2", and he's got some pipes, man. He's got some size on him. So if he can just escape the pocket, create a play, and again, all you gotta do is just dump it to 41. All you gotta do is just dump it to 13.
Right.
Just, you know, if a play breaks down. So I think that's why, to me, I'd say he's clear cut too. Look, it doesn't help today that you see 4 interceptions and there's Tom Savage over the middle, you know, getting picked off by Alex Anzalone. So, and look, I get it, but I mean, it is what it is. This defense just had a heck of a day today, man. They really did. A couple of forced fumbles, 4 interceptions, 3 by linebackers. To me, that's the story so far. That linebacking core is dropping in coverage. Anzalone was dropping in coverage. Savage didn't see him. DeMario Davis dropping in coverage when he picked off Drew Brees, who's trying to hit Josh Hill over the middle. It's linebackers that can cover. That's something we have not been able to say here in New Orleans for a while.
And exactly. And one more thing. If I'm New Orleans, I'm getting rid of – I know that he had a good practice. I know this, Gus. But, man, he got to go number 21. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just like – he's just from year after year after year, he's that guy that he show up in training camp. Mm-hmm. And when you put him in a game situation, Devontae Harris, I mean, it's like he lost. He lost out there. And, I mean, if I'm Sean Payton, I won't trust him. I'm sorry. That's just the bottom line. And – the Mike Thomas incident, your colleague last Friday said that Thomas got the potential to be the number one, the best receiver in the game.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, what you think his action price is going to be when it's time for him to negotiate a contract?
Oh, boy.
Because to be honest with you, I never saw Saints give up $13 to $14 million to a receiver. And I don't want to scare the whole nation, but I'm just being realistic with it.
See, why you got to do that, Corey? Why you gotta start saying that? They're not letting Michael Thomas walk, all right? Here's the one thing that's going to help. Keep this in mind for me, Corey. By the time Michael Thomas comes up to get paid, Alvin Kamara, Marshawn Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, two tackles got paid over the weekend, $70, $80 million. By the time that happens, I don't think Drew Brees will likely be around and commanding the money he does. So if it's Taysom Hill, he might be making 7 or 10 instead of 25, 30. You know what I'm saying? So just remember that. And what I would do, it's funny you said that. I literally told somebody that this morning, Corey. I said, if Michael Thomas has another 1,000-yard season this year and plays very well, next year would be year four. Remember, first-round pick, the Saints can pick up his option in year five. Now, he obviously is going to want a bigger deal than just another addition. So either you do it next year or after for sure year four to try to get a head start, right? And you give him a big deal.
You might want to.
But that way you're 2-3 years ahead and you start staggering where, you know, he gets paid 1 year, maybe Kamara, then Lattimore in opposite years. Because if you have to pay everybody at once, and again, Brian and Ola East, if you listen, I'm not going full Oprah here and everybody gets a check and you get a check. But there's some potential of some players making some big money. So I'm with you. The good thing about it is the quarterback, I don't think, will be making a bulk of that cash. So the Saints will have some money. Plus, remember, every year, the salary cap goes up.
We will see, right?
Yes, we will see.
Thank you, Corey.
Yeah, for sure, man. 800-998-1003. Final segment coming up. And we'll put a wrap on things. Tomorrow, kind of get back to a normal day. We'll touch on a bunch of different other sports as well. But come on. I mean, practice, the players, the sound. That's what you want to hear today. As five practices are in the books. Sports Hangover wraps it up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Well, mentally, you know, he's picked things up pretty quick.
The Saints have a scheduled day off on Tuesday. I'm Gus Kattengell, and for more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp report has been brought to you by New Orleans Harley Davidson. The greatest bikes in the world are right here in your backyard at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
This is Gus Kattengell inviting you to stop in at New Orleans Harley-Davidson across the street from where training camp's going on Airline Drive. And if you are interested in learning how to ride, New Orleans Harley-Davidson's Riding Academy has the best rider training in Louisiana. Mention my name, Gus, and you'll receive $100 in store credit when you pass the class. And on Saturdays, they always have to grill out burgers, dogs, brats, you name it. You know I love to grill, so stop on by. Get in now to New Orleans Harley-Davidson on Airline Drive.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
We'll take a look at around the NFC South tomorrow and some of the other storylines as training camps are now open in and around the NFL, as tomorrow the Saints have a day off. So it'll give us a chance to kind of catch up on some things and touch on some others. And as I said, at some point this week, Coach Gentry, he was there today. He's going to be going a couple of the practices, and the Pels have told me to be able to have a little one-on-one with him. So we'll chat a little hoops with him, hopefully at some point this year. I mean, this week, rather. And I'll ask him about this because it's on CBSSports.com. Have you seen on social media, there's some belief, there's some rumor, there's some speculation that Kobe Bryant could be making a comeback to the Lakers? Shaquille O'Neal, CBSSports.com, says, yeah, I've heard it, they might be making a comeback. Shaq, Kobe coming back, I heard. Kobe coming back, I heard he was. You heard it here first, is what he said. Now, I don't know if he's messing. But he retired in 2016. So, can you imagine he comes back and plays with LeBron? I don't know. We'll see. Shaq did say he's done. He's not coming back. And if you've seen Shaq recently, you can understand why he's done. He's done. Yeah. Uncle, I just, look, if you're Kobe, you just kind of just, I mean, you could probably still shoot, you know? I don't know. I'll tell you what, it would sell some, even more tickets. Not that you would have to sell the tickets. It's sold out, but add a zero to your tickets. Carmelo Anthony also, he agrees to the buyout from the Hawks. At any minute now, he will officially probably say, hey, Houston, let's sign. So we'll get into all of that and more as well. LeBron also having his press conference today to talk about the Lakers and also a school that he opened up in Akron, Ohio. So we'll get into a lot more today. I mean, tomorrow on some of the other topics going on. Plus, again, take a look at around the NFL camps, including the NFC South. Lots of injuries already taking place that are season ending. So far, the Saints only experiencing one severe injury, and that is the broken arm bone of Traven Dorrow. No timetable on any of that as well. So maybe Sean Payton will talk a little bit more about that on Wednesday when that takes place. But it is what it is, and we will see what takes place coming up in the next couple of days. Marcus Davenport, didn't get to him today. He walked out early from practice as well. I'm going to save him for tomorrow a little bit because I thought it was, I'll play this bite just to kind of give you a tease as to what I want to go into tomorrow, in which he talked about, he felt the pressure on being the guy with that the team had to give up essentially two first round picks.
You know, obviously it's in the air, but luckily with my coaches, you know, my teammates, they've helped me to not even think about it. It's more about improving on a daily basis, every day getting better. Because, you know, we got big goals, and I won't be able to contribute.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow as well. So be sure to join us over on social media, as we said, Instagram, Facebook, and at ESPN Radio NOLA on Twitter. And tomorrow, again, we'll focus a little bit more on maybe the running backs and some of the things we've seen in there as well. After further review with Matt Moscone, he was on this morning with Off the Bench. That's 7 to 9 weekday mornings. We'll see you tomorrow at noon on ESPN New Orleans.